Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 98 of Speak On. I can't believe we're in 98.
That's, I know, man.
You know what? It's funny. Like the other day, I think I was talking to my wife and I was like, yo, Dina, I've almost done 100 of these things, which is insane. Like, this is what, 2.5 years-ish?
2.5 years. We've been rocking.
Yeah, we've been rocking hard. Pause. I mean, yeah, I didn't mean like that. Okay.
Yo, okay. Here's a funny moment that happened at work today that okay. I've been laughing about. I had to really catch myself because when I said it, okay. So we're at work. We're in a meeting at my job, and dude next to me, he's funny. He's funny white dude. He's from Georgia, so he got a little culture in him. So we sitting, and two people walk to the front. And I was this close to saying something.
Oh God!
But I decided not to. And anytime I decide to, I almost say something, but I decided not to. If there's someone who I know who's nearby that I know can understand my sense of humor, I usually let them know what I was about to say, so at least somebody can hear where my brain was going. Okay. I just leaned over to my man and I was like, I was getting ready to say it, but then I stopped myself, and all I said was, "I wish you could read my mind." Fam. He looked at me and said, "Hey, yo," and I could not stop laughing. Because as soon as he said, "Hey, yo," I knew I was like, whoa, wait. That's not how I meant that. That's not, dog. I couldn't stop laughing. I was in there like, you got me. I was like, I apologize. I take all of that back. I didn't mean to say that like that.
You know what's crazy? Ayo can mean like six things. Like, oh, yeah, the way someone says ayo will set the tone for the rest of the conversation.
It's all in the voice inflection. You say something wild, they'd be like, ayo. Now you got to look back and just be like, oh shit, nah, I see where you're coming from. But sometimes they like someone might call you, yo, you a bitch. You'd be like, ayo. Hey, yo. Yo, like, what's up? Like, what, when I got my car towed today, them words that I gave them people. I know they was on the phone like, hey, yo, what's up with you? That's what's up with you. If you work at a towing company, I'm going to let you know now, there's not many phone calls you get on any day that are very pleasant.
Yes.
So before you complain about how people are talking to you, get thicker skin or get a new job, punks.
That's tough. You didn't watch those towing shows on True TV.
And what happens? They be about that business. They be wanting to smoke back.
That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. I just feel like certain professions out here, they just call for the smoke. And I just feel like that doesn't mean you have to respond to the smoke with physical action. But that means if you're going to talk that shit back. You might need to talk that shit back in this profession. I feel like working in the tow industry is one of those professions. Up there with police officers, up there with...
I would say more so because the police officer, like, they have guns, handcuffs, the law. Like, if you go up to a police officer and be like, man, fuck you, you know, like, oh, that's assault. You're going to jail. What's the tow company going to do?
Call the police.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody, I'm just saying. It's like some of these, I mean, I can work on a list of professions where you got to just have tough skin. And I know some people out here are going to just be like, oh, you people can just be nice. Yeah, I live in reality. And my reality is people aren't as nice as y'all want them to be. That's just, this isn't Cinderella. Well, they was mean to her too. So whatever fairy tale where people are always nice to each other, this life that we live isn't one of them.
But it can be. That's the thing. It can be.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm about to get on some my deep shit real quick. Pause. We're in the 2023rd year of human existence.
Yes.
In the 2023 years of human existence, we have not been very nice.
It's more than that. This is after death. 2023 AD, so it's more than that.
Okay. So in the very long history, over 2,000 plus year history of humans being on this earth, we have not been very nice to each other. We haven't been very good to each other. We haven't been very kind to each other. Nope. Yet, some people out here, there are a lot of people out here who just think that we as humans are ever going to actually be nice to each other when history says we are not nice to each other. Now, I believe in, I don't really believe people change. I believe people adapt. Can we adapt to try to be nicer? A little bit, but no, a lot of y'all don't want to live in the nice ass society that you think you do.
Why is that?
Because we aren't as nice as we think we are as humans.
That's a good point.
We're talking about the same species that enslave other people just off the color of their skin.
Hey. But February is over, so we don't get to talk about that.
February is over, but you know what's here? The NBA playoffs.
My brother. Hey, that is the funniest transition, I swear, before everything.
Listen, we've been doing this for 98 episodes. We got these playoffs, though. That's you. That's humans, though. Yeah, I hear you about the slave trade and all that, but did you see De'Aaron Fox versus the Warriors? Listen, people, today we are going to obviously talk about the NBA playoffs. We're going to go deep into the Western playoffs. We're going to go deep into the Eastern playoffs and what our thoughts are so far. As of right now, the Celtics and the Hawks are currently playing. And behind me on the TV, the Cavs and the Knicks are playing. So the East is playing tonight, so we shall see. We're also going to talk about your quarterback, Jalen Hurts. He just got the bag. So what does this new bag for Jalen Hurts potentially mean for Lamar Jackson? Then in our quick hitter section, we're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL draft. As we know, that's on the way. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Washington Commanders on the verge of being sold. We're going to talk about last night's physical fucking funny-ass debacle between Draymond Green and Domantas Sabonis.
Beautiful.
Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia are fighting this weekend. We're going to talk about that. And of course, Danny, we got some Formula One to chat about. Yep. And the return of Speak to the Cinema this week because Beef was on. So we got something there. But let's start with a little bit of basketball because the NBA playoffs are here. They are taking over. And if you've been watching the games over the past weekend, we've had a lot of great games, a lot of great matchups. Danny, how do you feel about starting in the East?
Let's do it.
All right. So let me paint the picture of where we are in the Eastern Conference playoffs as of April 18th, 2023. So the Heat lead the Bucks 1-0 with game 2 tomorrow in Milwaukee.
Yep.
The Celtics lead the Hawks 1-0, and they're playing right now. The Sixers are up 2-0 after a strong second half in yesterday's game against the Nets. And the Knicks currently lead the Cavs 1-0, and they are currently playing the Cavaliers right now as we speak. So, Danny, got to ask you, so far, what are some of the biggest storylines that you're digging in the Eastern Conference?
Of course, the big one, Giannis and his back. What does that look like? I believe game 2 is tomorrow. I guess we'll see if he plays.
He's doubtful right now.
Yeah, he's out. Listen, man, if he doesn't play, I think they can squeak by Miami, especially now that Tyler Herro has broken his hand. But who, buddy? Like, whoever wins the Knicks and the Cavs, they have a real shot of going to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is bananas because 2 weeks ago we kind of giggled and just said whoever got the one seed, like, you're good into the Eastern Conference Finals. The other big thing for me is playoff Harden is back. I know the Sixers are up 2-0, but, oh, buddy, the ghost of James Harden's playoff career are back. I don't think it's going to matter against Brooklyn, but if you play Boston in the next round, like, they're going to need everything and more from James Harden. Maxey saved the day yesterday. I believe he had a 30-piece. He had either 30 or over 30. Again, against Brooklyn, this is fine. You'll be okay. But if I'm Joel Embiid, I am shaking James Harden like a rag doll. Like, hey, dog, if it doesn't work this year, we're going to ship your ass back to Houston. Like, don't even bother coming back because I can't play with that. I'm not going to front. I really didn't watch the Knicks and the Cavs, and I feel like I should have because I don't want to watch any Knicks playoff basketball because I know Jalen Brunson is balling, and every time Jalen Brunson's balling as a Mavs fan, it just breaks my heart. So, like,
y'all didn't offer him.
Yo, you could. We're not going to talk about that. But I probably won't watch any of the Knicks Cavs. I heard Brunson balled game 1 just like he did last year in the playoffs. Playoff Brunson is what playoff Harden should be. So, like, for me, Hero broke his hand. Again, I think Milwaukee can squeak by Miami, but like, if you, like, if you're a Knicks and a Cavs fan, like, you're saying to yourself, if this is serious, we have a legit shot. Like, put us against Boston, let's see what happens. Like, if we can take it to seven, we might be able to make it to the finals.
So it's funny that you mention the Bucks, because I do think, and of course, as always, what's good, Kyle? Thanks
what's
for pulling
up, Kyle?
Up. I do think when we talk about the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, I think we need to put a little bit more emphasis on this potential injury to Giannis. Listen, I'm of the mindset that I don't think the Bucks can just squeak by Miami without Giannis.
Really? Even with Tyler's hand?
Tyler's hand is not gonna help them not having Tyler Herro out there, arguably their best three-point shooter, second best, maybe their third best player on the team. But I think when you look at the Bucks built their team through Giannis. Now, I know they're very used to playing without him, given he had some injuries throughout the regular season, and the Bucks as a team were used to playing without some of their top guys in Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Giannis. But I think now we're in a situation where it's the postseason. Guys are getting more rest in between games, mm-hmm. and coaches and teams are able to scheme up how they want to play you a little bit better now that they have a little bit more time to game plan. And if you know Eric Spoelstra, who was voted as one of the 15 best coaches in NBA history, you got to know that he is working with his coaching staff right now and working with the players to put together a game plan of how they can beat this Bucks team without Tyler Herro. Mind you, while we talk about the Bucks being used to playing without some of their key guys, so are the Heat, right? This isn't something new to them. They're used to playing without some of their guys. So this is a team that feels like they have, you know, they may be old out there, but they feel like they got some depth, and they probably feel like they're well coached enough. If they play good enough basketball, they can easily beat this team. And I think the Heat are thinking, if we steal game two.
Oh, yeah.
If we can steal game two, then they have to come back to Miami for game three with potentially, like, I feel like the, let me take a step back. I feel like the Heat are saying, if we can steal game two in Milwaukee, then the Bucks got to come down to South Beach, and they're probably going to, at that point, going to have to put Giannis back on the floor,
because yeah,
they're not going
to
go down 3-0. They're not going to risk going down 3-0 without their best player. And I think that is when the series gets sticky. Milwaukee squeaks by them tomorrow. I think they rest Giannis for game three and try to bring him back for game four. So there's a big difference between going down 1-1 and going down 2-0. And yes. I think the Bucks are about to find out a lot about the Bucks. If you go down 2-0, now you essentially got to win four games straight.
Four out of five, yeah. Which is hard.
But I'm saying if they go down 0-2 in the Bucks mindset, they have to say we have to win four straight because if this thing goes to seven, they're going to have the edge because they're probably confident. So we'll see. Now, another storyline that I've been enjoying, I don't see a lot of people talking about it because the first game wasn't so close. The Celtics look like they are ready to make it a run back to the finals this year. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Celtics are saying to themselves, we can match up well against Philly, and I think we can beat Philly. Yes. And they're probably saying, if we can beat the Hawks, and then we can beat the Sixers, Giannis or no Giannis, I think the Celtics feel like they can beat the Bucks, Giannis or no Giannis. And then I specifically feel like if they get the Knicks or the Cavs,
oof, go ahead and write it in. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you're a Knicks or a Cavs fan, you say, hey, let's get there and let's see what happens. Let me ask you a question. This isn't in the notes. So, you know, Giannis gets hurt, taking a charge, and there's been a lot of talk, like, should we ban the charge in the NBA? Do you think charges should be banned?
No, that's basketball.
Thank you. That's basketball.
Like, that's basketball. Like, so for every, listen, charges go both ways. Like, it's either going to be a charge or it's going to be a blocking foul. Set your feet outside the restricted area, take the contact.
Yes.
Like, it's basketball. Now, what happened What happened with Giannis is the unfortunate part of charges, right? Where someone kind of goes up and maybe lands a little awkwardly. Same thing we saw happen with Ja Morant, which I'm sure we'll talk about here pretty soon. But yep. I think that's the dangerous part of charges, but that's also basketball.
That's basketball, man.
That's basketball. So we'll see. The Sixers and the Nets, man. Listen, this is all I'm going to say. Spencer Dinwiddie, you better hope y'all get at least one game. Because if y'all don't, Kyle Kuzma is going to be at your door like the Undertaker behind prime WWE opponents in 2007. He is going to be right there waiting to get them Spencer Din shitty jokes right off. Oh. And Kyle Kuzma had too much time on his hand last week. Did you see those tweets?
Dog. Like, he unloaded the clip.
Like
he's had them saved. Those were in the drafts.
And it made me think, yo, y'all had to have some beef back and forth when y'all were on the same team.
Yeah. Whether it was unspoken or not, yeah, someone didn't like the other.
Well, I think Kuzma got Dinwiddie traded. Not like he went to the front office. I'm talking about his play. Like, he played well as like a sort of a point forward at that power forward position. And it kind of made Nathan realize that, hey, we can have Kuzma out here on the floor with Beal. Don't know if we really need Dinwiddie. Like, we can have Kuzma and Porzingis and Beal out here, but what does Dinwiddie bring that can really help? And man, all it took was one reporter asking Spencer Dinwiddie about Kyle Kuzma, and Kyle Kuzma said, "Oh, we got time today? Oh, stay right there.
I'm not in the playoffs."
Yeah, he said, "I am not in the playoffs." And yo, this is the part of that rant that I thought was the funniest. Spencer Dinwiddie told Kyle Kuzma told Spencer Dinwiddie, yo, yeah, you in the playoffs, but you really should be thanking KD and Kyrie for carrying y'all basically all the way there, because y'all only won this many amount of games since the trade deadline. So what's up? And that was kind of like that's like a super punch in the chest. That was like a bow, bow. You know what I'm saying? So listen, I know what Michelle Obama said. When they go low, we go high. I'm here to let everyone know that when they go low, we go even lower.
No.
And then we try to go high. But first we go lower, very low. So low that we feel bad and we normally got to go high.
See, we'll talk about that later when we speak to the cinema about what happens when you go low.
All right, let's shift to the Western Conference, because this is the conference that's probably going to have the most games go to the six games. This is probably going to be the conference that has the most six-game series in this first round, right? So we have the Nuggets, who lead the Timberwolves one game to none, and they have a game two tomorrow in Denver. Game one didn't really look that close, so, oh, brother. Lakers lead the Grizzlies one game to none with game two tomorrow in Memphis, which would be really big. The Kings are up 2-0 versus the defending champion Golden State Warriors after last night's game. Fun fact, if you didn't hear, this is the first time that Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors have ever been 0-2. So if you guys really want to know how great this dynasty has been, they've never even faced an 0-2 deficit before today. So,
crazy.
That's insane. And the Clippers lead the Suns one game to none with game two tonight in Phoenix. So, Danny, what are some of your biggest storylines in the Western Conference? I feel like I know where you're about to start, but go ahead.
I'm going to start with Kawhi Leonard. We make fun of him for this load management, call him soft, but boy, oh boy.
And then playoffs, you understand why he had MVP.
Yeah, we understand. My bad, big dog. Like, that's insane what Kawhi was able to do game one.
Is it safe to say that by the time Kawhi Leonard retires, he'll have more finals MVPs than regular season MVPs?
Yes. Yeah, that's already going to be the case. He'll never win the regular season MVP, especially now with the new parameters. You got to play 65 games. Okay, Kawhi's not doing that. For me, that's funny. That's not funny. That's probably the biggest thing. Like, that was a thing of beauty the other night. And then locking up – well, he didn't lock up. You know, he helped lock up KD, Russ's defense, the Clippers. I think the Clippers – like, if he dispatched the Suns in the first round, we need to have a Devin Booker conversation. And trust me, I will be here waiting to have that conversation.
Oh, I forgot you're a Mavs fan.
We're gonna have to talk about him. How much does he need? If you give Luka Kevin Durant, it's a wrap.
He has the guard version of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Nah, Kyrie and KD.
He's the guard version of it.
Would you take Kyrie or Kevin Durant?
I mean, do I want gasoline or fire? You're getting the same thing.
I want Kevin Durant. Of course, the other big one is Ja Morant. I don't know. Has anyone said what's wrong? It's obvious that he broke something.
It's bruised hand tissue.
LOL. He was in a cast. That joint is broken. And the Lakers are going to meet the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And I can't wait for Anthony Davis to eat Jokic alive in front of God in America. I've been wanting that all playoffs, and the only way the Nuggets and the Lakers can meet is if it's in the Western Conference Finals. Sign me up, Karl-Anthony Towns.
No, I actually, so I'm thinking about the brackets. Denver's the one seed, which means they would play the winner of the 4-5 seed, which means they would play the winner of the Clippers Suns. Yep. The Lakers are going to play the winner of the Warriors Kings.
So we're going to get Lakers Kings. A flashback to 2002. Sorry, Kings fans. It's going to be the same results. Like, the story ends after you don't play defense, you don't protect the rim. The Lakers have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. This was cute.
But I got a question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
If you're the NBA and you're looking at the potential second round matchups, you're seeing that Ja Morant is likely going to be nicked, and there's a chance that the Lakers might pull off that series. Okay, if you're the NBA, you're cool with the Lakers beating Memphis, because while you don't have one league superstar in Ja Morant, you obviously have the face of the NBA and the greatest of all time in LeBron James. I think the NBA would be okay with the Lakers beating the Grizzlies. How do you think the NBA feels about a potential Lakers versus Kings matchup instead of a potential Lakers versus Warriors matchup? And for those who don't have some context there, in terms of TV ratings and in terms of draw, Lakers and Warriors usually has the biggest draw in terms of crowds. They have the two of the loudest fan bases in the NBA. So from a viewership standpoint, the league wants the Lakers versus Warriors. Danny, what do you think the league is thinking right now that we might get a Lakers-Kings matchup instead if the series hold the way they are?
I think the league, like, from a fan perspective, the team that beat the Warriors, like, I think that would draw interest. Like, America is falling in love with the Kings right now. Everyone's screaming, light the beam. Everyone's talking about De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis and Malik Monk. Like, I think America, like, they're starting to become America's darling, America's sweetheart. So I think we'd get ratings, but I think after two games, it would be really, really clear who the better team is. Hold on, let's see the Lakers-Kings record this year. Like,
oh, I think the Kings smoked the Lakers every time we played them. But mind you, I don't know.
No. These were. So January 18th, the Kings won by 5. January 7th, the Lakers won by 2. November, Kings won by 6. These have been close games. There was one. That was preseason. Yes, they played 4 times this year. The Kings went 3-1, but these were close. There was only one blowout. The Lakers lost by 14 back in December. But other than that.
Oh, so that was the pre-trade Lakers.
Yeah. So, yeah, post-trade, they haven't played post-trade. The last time they played each other was January the 18th.
Okay.
So they have not.
So they haven't seen this new Lakers team.
No.
Ooh. It's tough. That's tough. Because if you're Adam Silver, you're sitting here like, yo, we can get LeBron versus Steph in the second round. I'm telling you, I think they're licking at the chops.
Or you can get a Kings team that just dismantled a Warriors dynasty, and now they have their eyes set on the King.
That too.
Like David and Goliath.
Yeah, I think. You know, the more I think about it, I think the league feels like they may win regardless, because let's just say Memphis turns this series around. And then Golden State turns the series around. Now you got Memphis versus Golden State. That's a draw.
That's a draw.
That's a draw. Let's say you get the Lakers finish this one out, and the Warriors turn this one around. Lakers versus Warriors, that's an easy draw.
Easy.
Steph versus LeBron, we know. That's ratings galore. Let's see. If we get the actual 2-3 matchup, Memphis and Sacramento, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the matchup I don't think the league wants.
Yeah, I think that one's not. Especially if Jaws hurt, because I think Jaws' hand is broken. Like something is broken. I don't care what. I think something's broken. I will say. Another thing about the Kings Lakers is Mike Brown. Mike Brown is LeBron's old coach. Like that's another layer to the story.
Very good point. There's a lot of the more I think about it, that Lakers and Kings matchup does have a little bit more intrigue than we like to.
And then you got Kings fans wanting revenge for them being cheated in 0-2. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of the league can't talk about that, but like fans understand what it means to Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, as a Lakers fan, I wanna see us close out this series, hopefully, and then I would be very interested to see who we match up against, because I feel like if it's the Kings, then we have to lean on our defense and our experience. If it's the Warriors, dog. Now you got to get your killers in your corner and look across the river and just know there's some killers over there.
I think you would prefer to play the Kings. Again, the Kings don't play defense. Their weakness is protecting the rim. There's no one there to protect the rim. And what the Lakers attack the rim almost better than anyone. Like it would just be downhill. Like if De'Aaron Fox catches fire, that's fine. But like I think like that. Like just Anthony Davis and LeBron consistently just attacking the rim might be too much. Like Sabonis can only do so much.
That's true. Talk to me about the Clippers and the Suns, right? I know you mentioned that series and a lot of intrigue there. What are your thoughts on Kevin Durant barely really seeing the ball during the backstretch of that game one? And how do you think the Suns, as they prepare for like a game two, what do you think they're in there saying? They're probably saying, yo, this game was very close all throughout. Mm-hmm. But we got to make sure KD's involved, right?
Yeah. I forgot where I saw it. It's like KD's on a 7-game playoff losing streak, which is insane because he's Kevin Durant. I don't know. Like if you're the Clippers, you feel good that you stole game. Because, he got swept last year in Brooklyn.
And then they game one is they five. They lost the last two or three versus Toronto.
No, I think it was Milwaukee. Like the last game, playoff game, Kevin Durant won is the one in Brooklyn when he played all 48 minutes, and Steve Nash like bear hugged him at the end because Steve Nash was like, "I don't know what I'm doing, but I have you." So I think
they lost game 6 and 7. The Nets did.
Did they 2, research 4, 6,
and then 7? That's what it is.
Okay,
because they got swept last year. We know that. So that's 4. That means they lost the last two versus Milwaukee, and then
game one was dog. Like you got to get K, especially at home. Like the Suns, and the problem is they don't have any depth, right? Like KD goes to the bench, or Book goes to the bench, and the Clippers just have waves of players. Like they can do whatever they want to do. Any lineup you want to do, you want to play bigger with Aiden, we got you. Want to go small, we can go small. I just think the Clippers. Like I know we talk about Phoenix, and when that trade happened, we talked about the depth. I think Cam Johnson's still hurt too, but like it's starting to show. Like you can't play Kevin Durant, 44 minutes a night. Like you can because there's more rest, but the farther we go down this path of the playoffs, like it's going to start to take its toll. So, if the Clippers beat, that means the Clippers would get Denver. That would be a lot of fun. I'm on the verge of. I'd rather see Clippers Denver than Phoenix Denver, because Denver is also deep and I think they could beat Phoenix in 5 or 6. I'd rather see Clippers Denver than Phoenix Denver.
That's funny because I honestly think whoever wins Clippers Suns, they are going to take it right to the Nuggets, and I don't particularly see that series being close no matter who comes out of this Clippers Suns matchup. I just think,
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Why does no one respect Denver? Like I haven't seen one person be like, yo, Denver's going to the finals.
Well, because we've seen like 3 or 4 playoff years in a row, or 3 or 4 postseason trips in a row for Denver, where there's a clear strategy to beat this team, and people are almost rinsing and repeating how to beat this team, and they don't do anything about it. So now it's like, okay, y'all are clearly, when it comes to the regular season, y'all get it. Y'all understand how to win on an 82-game schedule. But when it's 16 games, 16 wins to a championship, and we got to lock down, this becomes a half-court game, all that cute Euro step, between the leg pass, team doesn't lose when you get a triple-double, that shit don't matter now. That shit don't matter. Now it's your dog. Your best versus my best. And they letting the physicality fly, so you're not even getting some of them ticky-tack calls no more. We playing now.
Did you see the flagrant, and shout out to Cal. Cal, thank you for, we were correct. Katie, that Nets team 49-point
game in 2021 versus the Bucks. Nets lost game 6 and then game 7 in OT.
The OT,
I remember where I was watching that series. That was some of my last, I'm realizing now, some of my last days in Virginia watching this.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, did you see Jokic's flagrant against Ant-Man? Dog. Telling you, that man is a fraud. First, that's, stop putting, and Barkley said this other night, and Shaq kind of gave him crap about it. But yo, stop putting games on at 10:30 Eastern. Granted, nobody wants to watch the Nuggets, but you can't sit here and tell me how great Jokic is and then put him on at 10:30. Like, I'm going to bed.
So I was thinking about that, right? I think, and hear me out, this is a theory.
Okay.
I think some of this scheduling is wonky because the Lakers and Clippers are both in the playoffs, and they're both lower seeded teams.
I can see that's something I can buy into, because I bet you if the Lakers were the 8 seed and playing the Nuggets, they will not be on at 10:30. That game would be on at 8.
Well, not only just that, but they have to, how do I say this? So you have to allot certain amount of time between games 2 and 3 and games 4 and 5, then 6 and 7. You have to give travel time.
Right.
And so because the Clippers are the 5 seed and the Lakers are the 7 seed, their games 3 and 4 and 6, they have, I think they got to stagger them out some because
they share a building.
Because they share a building. So, and I think the way they have to do it, because you got to think, they're literally both going to be playing game 3s, game 4s, and game 5s like a day apart. So I feel like they scheduled it the way they did. Because if you notice, the Lakers and the Clippers don't play on the same days, haven't played on the same days. Well, they have. They both played on Sunday, Saturday. Or was it Sunday? Might have been Sunday.
No, Laker. Yeah, it might have been Sunday.
They both played on Sunday, but you notice the Clippers and the Suns play tonight. Lakers and whatchamacallit, Lakers and Grizzlies play tomorrow.
Okay.
So that way, when game three for the Suns and Clippers is probably going to be, what's today, Tuesday? That game's probably going to be Friday. And I bet you the game three for the Lakers Grizzlies is going to be on Saturday. And I think, okay. I bet you that has something to do with how they scheduled it. But with all that being said, NBA, y'all had a wide open 1 o'clock or 1 or 2 p.m. slot that y'all could have put one of the East Coast teams on right there so that one of the West Coast teams can bump their slot up. All I'm going to say is this. If the NBA wants the people to see and watch Jokic and Ant-Man, you got to give them better time slots, because us West Coasters, we was up watching it.
Not me. I was asleep. I don't want to watch Jokic anyway. But if you want me to watch, like, I need – And Shaq was like, oh, you need to take your old ass to bed. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, true, Shaq. We are. Going back to the Clippers, not Clippers, the Warriors and the Kings, because I want to discuss this now while we're on the Western Conference Finals. Last night, during the Western Conference opening round, Draymond Green got ejected, and Domantas Sabonis was awarded a flagrant foul 1. So if for those who didn't see, Warriors scored a bucket, and on this bucket, Sabonis kind of got fouled. And when he got fouled, he held on to Draymond Green's leg or foot. And as Draymond Green was trying to run back down the court to get set for defense, with Sabonis holding his leg, he He stepped on him. He stepped on him.
Yeah.
And Sabonis just got to, he got on his best acting shit. Because essentially all he did was stump the air out of him. But came back, He came back and was acting all dramatic. Draymond gets tossed after yelling and cussing at fans. Sabonis finishes the game. Obviously, we see the Kings go on to win the game. Do you think they got it right with his ejection? And do you think Draymond will be suspended?
They got it right with his ejection. Yes. You can't stomp people. Like, you are not Seth Rollins. And I know.
Like, but Draymond's foot held. How else is he? Like, he's
You rip your leg away or you fall and point to the dog. You can't stop somebody. You can't do that.
But this is what I'm saying. He was laying down holding his leg. So he's trying to, like, trying to pull his leg.
So last game, Draymond German suplex Sabonis. Like, I didn't see Sabonis, like, jump up and kick him in the jaw.
Hey.
No, you can't.
Who told him not to?
You can't. I don't think he will get suspended, but if he does get suspended, it's because he didn't show any remorse. Like, he went to the podium and was like, yo, what am I supposed to do? Like, dog, you don't stop
people. No, but that's what he's saying. I think he's saying, yo, I didn't even stop Mans. Mans held my foot and I was trying to move.
And I broke free and then I stomped on his chest.
No. Or what if to break free of my foot getting held on so I can not fall and lose my balance, I just exerted force to remove my foot and it accidentally stepped on Mans because he was holding my foot to his chest. Listen, I'm not even – y'all making me get into my Draymond Green cape bag, but I'm asking everyone, go back and watch the play and tell me what the hell was the man supposed – he was – Sabonis was holding Mans' foot to his chest.
And so if I go to jerk my leg away, the next motion is not to stomp it down. He did that on purpose. And we've been talking about Draymond wilding in the playoffs. Last year, he gets that first tech because he knows he won't get thrown. Nah, you can't stomp people. You can't stomp people.
You want to know how I know Sabonis knew he was wrong? Because right after the game, Jared Greenberg was trying to basically get him to say, yo, what did you think about Draymond stomping on you? Like, that's fucked up shit, right? Right? Sabonis was, I mean, this is playoff basketball, man. It's physical. I mean, like, we're out here competing. We're out here
what
fighting.
Is he supposed to say?
Draymond? If it was really intentional and he really felt a way,
I mean, we just can't have that type of play in our league, man. I know this is the playoffs, but we just can't have that type of – we can't have that type of play in the league.
No, so he didn't say that. He basically was like – yeah, no, dog. We down here. We fighting. We warriors. We trying to win a chip. They trying to win a chip. That's just how it is. Hey, so this is so like what are we doing here? Dude knew what he was doing by holding his foot. That's what I got from it. He knew what he was doing by holding his foot, and he got that act right back. He knew he couldn't bitch and complain too much because he's partially to blame for that.
And he got his flagrant one. Hey, man! Shout out to Sabonis for selling it. It worked.
He did. Listen, Sabonis, I think when you are done in the NBA, you need to give Triple H a call, dude, because you can sell some contact. You can sell some contact. Speaking of contact, let's go to a contact sport.
Okay.
NFL. Okay. And speak about a contract that the Eagles just gave Jalen Hurts. Danny, I know I'm gonna give you an ISO on this one because I know. Listen, it was announced yesterday. The Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts and the team had reached an agreement to make Jalen the highest paid player in the NFL. Yes, let me say it again. Jalen Hurts is the highest paid player in the NFL. Do you know what that's telling me? That the two highest paid NFL players are black.
The takeover!
Who's the second one?
Patrick?
Oh, yeah. My bad, Patrick. Deshaun right. Third, ain't it?
Top three, all black QBs. The takeover.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is third.
Oh, shout out to
Rodgers is second because Rodgers gets 50 million. Jalen gets 51. I think Rodgers gets 50. I think Pat gets 52. 50 T-O-O, not 50 T-W-O.
Yeah. Okay. Well, two or three of the top five highest paid player in the leagues are black. Quarterbacks. So this is a wonderful, wonderful time that we're living in. Otherwise, I mean, anyways, Danny, what are your thoughts on this deal, man? What are your thoughts as an Eagles fan? How are you feeling with your QB getting his money?
I've been saying it this entire time. It's better to set the market than to react to the market. And now I don't care what Joe Burrow gets. I do not care what Justin Herbert gets. I do not care what Lamar Jackson gets, because Jalen is signed for the next 6 years. For those who didn't see the contract, I think the year 2026, the cap hit jumps from like $31 million to $71 million. So that's when you renegotiate. Again, we're going to kick that can down the road, or we're going to convert that $71 million to some sort of huge signing bonus to avoid the cap. God knows where the cap will be 6 years from now, 4 years from now. But again, the biggest thing for me, I'm glad Jalen got his money. He got a no-trade clause, which is the first no-trade clause the Eagles have given out in franchise history. But the win for the Eagles is the cap numbers throughout the course of the deal are pretty reasonable, especially as the cap goes up, and they also got that extra year. Most quarterbacks go for the four-year deal, and we're going to renegotiate after year three. Jalen signed a five-year deal, and we'll probably start renegotiations after year four, so the Eagles get the extra year out of that. I think the deal is fair on both sides. Shout out to Jalen's agent, the first black woman to ever have the highest paid person in the NFL as her client.
That's dope. Also
part of Clutch Sports. I am very happy with the deal. And again, like, my biggest concern was if Joe got his money first, or if, you know, Herbert got his money first, Jalen's contract would have to beat that, because Joe has had two great seasons and a Super Bowl loss. Jalen has had one good season and a Super Bowl loss, and Justin Herbert has never been to the AFC Championship game. So, like, he would definitely get more money than Herbert, but now Joe is going to get more money than Jalen. Like, now, if I'm Joe, I'm waiting this out all summer. Like, I don't have to sign this deal till training camp, because I want to see what Justin Herbert gets, and I want to see what Lamar gets, and I want to beat both of them. Joe Burrow is going to be the highest NFL player by the time training camp starts.
You think so?
Yeah, the ones that are remaining, he's the best and has done the most. Yeah,
boy, that Super Bowl appearance, boy, you can really dangle that over people's head.
Hey, dog. Hey, man. Not even, like, even if some playoff success, right? So I suspect Justin Herbert is next. He's going to get, I think Jalen is averaging $51 million a year. Herbert's going to get $52 million a year. And I think Burrow's going to jump to like $54, $55 million a year.
Would be nice, right?
Same time, Ja'Marr Chase next. Like, Ja'Marr Chase is next year. So, and I'm sure Joe doesn't care. Like, get your money, but just know that Jamar's next year.
That's the thing. I think if you're Joe Burrow, you care to an extent.
Yes.
You don't care because you got to get chip money, but you also got to know, yo, what's the point of getting X amount millions a year if I'm throwing to Los D Mix on the edge over there? I'm going to need someone to throw to.
That's fair. So,
Kyle, and I like what Kyle just put into the chat. So, yeah, for those who are following along in the via the audio adventure, Kyle asked, "Do you think Burrow gets closer terms to Mahomes, something like an 8-year contract?" I do think that is something they're probably going to entertain. I think the Bengals know that as long as Joe Burrow is healthy, they have a really good chance of winning. So, I feel like a longer year in terms of the terms, something with longer years, mm-hmm, that allows them to have to pay him less per year because of the length of the contract. I think the Bengals might be down for that. And honestly, Joe Burrow's an Ohio kid, like an Ohio guy. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he really wants to stay in Ohio playing in Cincinnati. So, you know, I think the two sides are going to work on it. I think the two sides are going to get close to a really, really good deal that benefits both teams. I mean, both sides. Like, I'm all for athletes getting paid. I want nothing more than athletes to get paid. I do think there's something to be said about athletes who get paid while also making sure that their teammates get paid, or their friends or their positional friends also get paid. I think there's something to be said about that. I think there's that's the best way the NFL players can make sure that other NFL players are getting what they're worth and kind of fighting back, right? You know, and I think that's important. So I guess we'll see. But I want to ask you, do you think this deal with Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, do you think that helps or hurts the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar and then being able to back themselves into a deal basing it off of Jalen Hurts?
One thing before we jump to that, I will say also I agree with you guys about maybe 8 years instead of like 4 or 5. But I'll say the Cincinnati Bengals ownership, they're known for being cheap. So this thing could draw out all summer, not because Joe Burrow wants it to. It's because the Bengals ownership, they're just being cheap and they're doing Bengals things. So if I'm Lamar Jackson, like, I think this is a good starting point. Like, I think if I'm Lamar Jackson and I say, hey, I'll take the exact same deal, like, I think, or something similar to it. Because again, like, Jalen has been to a Super Bowl and lost, but Lamar has won a unanimous MVP and he's won a playoff game, right? So it all kind of evens out in the wash. Like, hey, give me Jalen's deal or give me something adjacent to it and let's wrap this thing up. I think those guys may have needed a framework. Like, what are other guys getting before we can go to the table and talk? Mm-hmm. I will say that Lamar, the 3% fee agents charge are worth it. Think about it, my guy. Think about it.
Well, I think he would have to think about it for his next deal if he gets one.
He can still hire an agent.
Or maybe if he could sign the franchise tag and then they have to revisit this conversation next year, right?
If I'm him, I don't want to do that. Like, for someone with his playing style,
I want to get paid now.
I'm trying to get paid right now. Even though he's only, every time he's gotten hurt, it's been in the pocket. But still, like, you don't want to risk it. Like, dog, pay the 3%. Drew Rosenhaus might charge 5 or 6% because he's Drew Rosenhaus. Dog, it's worth it. Like, pay the agent fee. Because this would have been over if you had an agent.
Well, we don't know that, though. Because even with an agent, like, the agent, like, Lamar could have... Agents only, they represent clients. So Lamar could have still stuck to his guns and his same thought process, but just been telling it through the agent.
But I don't think it would be as personal. You pay agents to have the conversations that you don't want to be in the room for, right? Because the team, you're saying, I deserve this money because XYZ, and the team is saying, no, you don't deserve all of that money because XYZ. You don't want to hear the XYZ. That's what the agent is for.
Yeah. I just feel, personally, I think if I'm Lamar, I'm looking at the Ravens like, yo, y'all don't even have a lot of XYZs when it comes to me. Like, what the – I think that's where he gets – I think that's why he's more so tight.
Yeah.
Like, y'all don't even have a lot of real XYZs. I'm hurt. That's really not true because I'm only hurt in the pocket, not even doing what I'm very good at. So maybe if he ran a better offense, I would be able to get the ball out faster. That way I wouldn't be able to get hurt. And they're probably going to say, well, you know, we tried to get some receivers. That position just didn't work out. Well, that means y'all aren't doing y'all's part.
And I'm with you.
So.
But pay the agent fee, man.
Listen, Baltimore, Lamar, I'm just going to pray for all parties involved because I really want to see Lamar stay in Baltimore, both for a viewership reason and because that is my dynasty QB. And I have really no idea what to do with Lamar and Dynasty right now, but I'm just going to hold on to him and just hope.
Take him for Kirk Cousins.
Yo, fuck you, dog. That's hey, I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Let's get into our quick hitter section. Staying in football, let's shift over to the NFL draft, right? So, Adam Schefter, who is not slick at all, was on NFL Live yesterday, and he basically just threw out a dart on the wall and to let y'all know that that NFL teams that he's hearing, when it comes to the draft, specifically quarterbacks, he said there are teams are not rushing to draft QBs early in the draft like everyone thinks they will be. What are your thoughts on that? You think are you calling cap, or do you think there's something to it here?
Big cap. Who are the teams at the top? Carolina. What do they need?
Right, well, they're going to take a – no, I think – so he said essentially that Bryce Young's going to be taken number one overall, and he says it might be a few more picks before we get the next quarterback. That's essentially what he said.
I think Houston's blowing smoke. Like, what's every head coach with a high draft pick their first year? What's your first priority as a new NFL head coach?
You gotta find your quarterback.
I gotta find my guy. And if you're Houston, if you don't draft, like, who's coming out next year? Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. You got Drake May. I don't know. Right. There's always, I mean, when it comes to college QB, someone's going to probably have a good season next year.
That's true. But
Caleb Williams and Drake May are the two, though, right now. Maybe I'm forgetting someone else.
How many, like, do you think you're going to be in a position next year to draft a quarterback? And if you're already thinking like that, you're not going to last long. Like, strike while the iron's hot.
But
get your guy now.
Go ahead.
Who's third? Arizona. They're going to draft Will Anderson. Fourth. They should. Fourth is Indy, correct?
Yes.
Anthony Richardson. I'll let you go. I think it's cap. I don't believe it.
I don't think it's cap. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it's cap. I've said this in some different ways, so I'm going to try to find a different way to say this. I'm calling it cap because, in my opinion, outside of Carolina, who I know is probably going to take Bryce Young now, I have a good feeling, especially after he canceled his other pre-draft visits, makes me fairly confident that Bryce Young will probably go one overall. But I'm not calling it cap because you look at number who's two? That's the
two is Houston.
That's okay, Houston. So they're probably looking at it. I bet you Houston probably thinks that Bryce Young is their guy, or they want Bryce Young, or maybe they think Bryce Young is probably the best QB. Basically what I'm trying to say is I think teams are looking at it as outside this QB class. I think Anthony Richardson, and again, Anthony Richardson has the highest ceiling. So I feel like teams are looking at this QB class saying, there's no for sure day one starters, nor is there really a lot of for sure hits with this QB class. And I think the NFL or NFL teams are looking at this QB class and saying, if we're going to go out outside of the Panthers, I think the Panthers are going to take Bryce Young. But if you're two and on, you're looking at the rest of the QB class, minus Bryce Young, who's probably going to be taking 101. You're looking at the rest of the QB class saying, there's a lot of decent ceilings here. I mean, there's a lot of decent floors here. But Anthony Richardson, in my opinion, has the highest ceiling. What are we in a rush to really draft the Will Levis or the CJ Strouds for? Because Anthony Richardson, just from a pure athletic ability, if you're a team that's able to get him and sit him behind even like a mid QB that's knowledgeable, like a Ryan Tannehill, or you can put him behind a QB that's maybe on the way out. That's a good QB that's had some good years. Anthony Richardson can get it on a team and start learning. I think that guy's going to be the one. And I think a lot of these other NFL teams are just looking at, you know, Will Levis and maybe CJ Stroud, and maybe to an extent, Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, and just saying, it's a lot of midi. I'm just not sure there's a for sure guy here.
Oh my gosh.
I don't mean like these are guys that can't potentially play. These are just guys that maybe don't move the needle completely. A lot of potential needle movers, no for sure needle mover.
I guess for that, like, then who would be the guy next year, right? It's not like Andrew Luck is, like, when Andrew Luck was a sophomore, it's like, okay, like, this is the one. Like, there's no one like that right now.
There's no Andrew Lucks. There's no Trevor Lawrences. There's no, to an extent, Sam Bradfords. Guys that you know that are, that when they come out, they're going to be able to lead an NFL team. There's a lot of guys who, in the right situation, you got to come in and coach them up a little bit. They could potentially be good, but no guys that are just like, this guy's going to be a for sure guy. And to be honest, we got to blame ourselves for that. Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence type prospects really spoiled us and really spoiled franchises and fans. Guys, Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck, those type of QB prospects, once in a generation. That's why they're generational prospects. I don't know if we will ever see a QB prospect as good coming out of college as Andrew Luck. That is, that guy was good. Like, you just knew he was, he's going to be the guy. I just don't know if there's a lot of those type of QBs in this draft. And I could see why a team, like, I feel like the Arizona Cardinals are just sitting back, sitting pretty. Yo, I'm going to definitely draft Will Anderson if I'm them. I'm definitely taking him. Don't overthink it. That guy's going to be a good NFL player. Take him.
Or do you trade?
Trade for what? You right there at three. You might as well just take your guy. Unless you're trading back to like four or like five.
If a team thinks that the Indianapolis Colts are going to take Anthony Richardson and you want Anthony Richardson and you call the Colts and say, hey, let's see. Let's look at this. Let's look at if you're the Tennessee Titans sitting at 11 and you say, hey, I want Anthony Richardson. Well, they got Malik Willis, so that's not realistic.
See, and that's when you start looking at it. Look at some of these teams that are going to be drafted.
Vegas.
They might need a QB. Maybe
I got you. You're Seattle. I know you just signed Geno, but
like, I don't know if they're really in a rush to take a QB. You could draft the QB to sit behind Geno for a few years, but you also just made the playoffs, and this team probably has other holes that are probably a little bit more needed than another quarterback.
That's fair.
And that's why I don't call cap on what Shefty's saying. I think there's a little bit more validity there. Listen, this just isn't one of those QB classes where I think people are going to be scratching and clawing to go up.
Okay.
Honestly, if I'm going to be honest, I think this class is filled with running backs. Like this, in my opinion, this is the draft where if you need a running back or maybe you want to start implementing a running back by committee sort of system, this is the draft because there are a number of good running back prospects, in my opinion. All right. Staying in football, the Washington Commanders are about to be sold. What are your thoughts?
It's a great day for Commanders fans because it was not going to be cute when the feds rolled up into Dan Snyder's office at FedEx Field to arrest him. So glad.
Yo, you want Dan. I just want everyone to know my co-host wants Dan Snyder under the jail.
Let me tell you something. Under the jail. That I know he's done something dirty. Like once you read that story about the cheerleaders and that bikini shoot and the stuff that he let happen, jail, prison.
Doing the whole bid. No parole.
Federal jail.
No parole.
No parole.
No early. No early with good behavior.
Not Martha Stewart jail either. Federal prison.
He is a billionaire. His jail cell would be a lot nicer than Martha Stewart.
His jail cell would be bigger than my house.
Oh yeah. What? I ain't gonna get into it, but. If y'all don't think there is a place for celebrity prison that don't look bad, I want you to know you do not know your country. You really don't know your country.
You don't.
Listen, I think it's great for Washington fans. I got a lot of Washington homies, you know, who are big Commanders fans. Happy for them. My one question, if you're a real Washington Commanders fan, is I know how you saw how Magic Johnson left being the Lakers GM or director of operations. What happens if Magic Johnson do something like that with the Washington Commanders?
So here's the great thing about Magic. Magic knows that his name still has power. So what people do is they throw his name into these ownership groups, give him minority ownership, 4-5%. Magic earning that money because he Magic. Magic not going to be in a room on draft night arguing about taking a tackle over a linebacker. Like Magic not gonna do that. Like we need some cachet.
That's fair.
Magic and say, hey man, give me 7% ownership. What? Bet. And you can use my name. You can say a hedge fund.
Whatever. You can say Magic Johnson said fuck you.
Yeah, like you can say whatever you want. Give me a little small ownership and we good.
So How much is ownership stake in some of these? Some of these, because
I don't know, but I'll say this. If I ever won the lottery, like, I would see, like, what does that look like? Like, how can I buy 6% of the Phillies?
Let me be honest with you. Every time the Packers open up, like, allow people to buy into the team, I get up, like, the last two times they've done it, I've told myself, when I get enough money, I'm buying ownership. Just as a gift. If not a gift to myself, I'm going to gift it to my children if I ever have any.
So how much were the shares? Like, how much does it cost to be an owner of the Packers?
I don't quite remember the number they had last time. Kyle might know, but it won't cheat.
Oh, so we
put it like this. I've only met one person in my life who was an owner of the Packers, and he was one of my team doctors at Virginia Tech.
Okay.
So you could, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Kyle, if you're able to look up how much ownership is in the Packers, or how much people were paying last time they opened up ownership, I'd be very curious. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, one of these days I might sell my house.
Hey.
All right. Let's shift over. I mean, we're gonna stay in playoff talk, but, you know, this isn't our normal bag, but we gotta. All right.
Jesus.
For the folks on the audio adventure, Kyle is saying that apparently it was $300 per share. Oh my God. Let me tell you something, Danny. If they open this back up, I am buying ownership.
Uh-oh. How many shares you buying? How many shares?
For 300. I'll put a stack away. Okay. Try to get like three shares.
Okay.
But I bet you next time they sell it, it'll be more than 300. Well, I don't know. Because without Rodgers, let me stop. But do you think with no Rodgers on the team, that might devalue it some?
No. The Packers are a blue blood NFL franchise.
I mean, they are one of the original franchises.
Yeah, they Pittsburgh, Dallas, Green Bay. Like, there are very few who are in that group.
Well, this isn't our normal bag, but Danny and I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to all the teams that are going to be competing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Playoff hockey is super, super fun to watch. I'm not really the most knowledgeable about hockey. So when it comes to playoff hockey, I'm definitely just watching to watch. But I'm happy to be a fan. Looking forward to see what the Bruins could do. I know they broke the record for most wins in a season by an NHL team. So curious to see if they're able to maybe take it all the way, or who knows. So really curious to see, you know, really curious to see how the Stanley Cup playoffs kind of play out. And I'll be watching, man. I'm definitely going to be watching. I mean, obviously in these sports where it's like when the postseason is in series, you can feel the intensity, and you can feel the intensity rise with each game. So I think I'm going to be just tuned in just for that. I don't know about you, Danny, but I'm going to be tuned in.
I'm tuned in. I feel the same way about hockey as the way I do baseball. Well, I would rather watch hockey than baseball anyway, but playoff hockey is something special, just the same way to me like playoff baseball is special. Like, I'm probably going to watch. I think I looked at the scores of these NBA games and they're pretty boring. Like, I'm going to watch hockey tonight. Yeah, let's see. The Celtics are up. Of course, my phone, 72-55, and then Cleveland's up by 6. Like, I'll probably watch hockey tonight.
Atlanta, y'all beat Miami in that first game for no damn reason.
You know, like,
y'all did the Celtics a fucking favor. Y'all did the Celtics a favor. All right, shifting over to boxing. So this is a big boxing weekend. Danny, I don't know if you watch Tank fight, but he fights this weekend versus Ryan Garcia, which has been a fight that's been brewing for a little bit. These guys kind of don't like each other. A lot of people have been saying Ryan been ducking Tank for a little bit, but this weekend is finally the fight.
Okay.
And apparently last night on IG, they agreed to put the whole purse. Winner takes the whole purse. And they were doing this live on Kai Cenat's Twitch. Shout out to the Twitch guys out there. And they agreed to it. But I'm gonna start. This is my thoughts here. I do not believe these guys are going to put the whole person. I think that was cap for the fight. Okay. But I do think Tank Davis is about to send Ryan Garcia to meet Jesus.
I mean, his name is Tank. I don't watch boxing, but man named Tank. No one just gives you the name Tank because they think you're cool. You gotta earn the name Tank.
Listen, every time I've seen Tank fight, some of them punches he be delivering, I'd be like, son, that might kill me. That punch might kill me. Ryan Garcia been talking mad spicy too.
So what weight class is this?
Oh, they're not big guys. Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm not. Let's see. I think they're fighting at like 150.
Okay.
Right. I think something like that. Well, they're welterweights.
Okay.
Whether they're going to be a light welterweight, felterweight, or a lightweight. So probably in between like 140 to 150 to 170 probably.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. So we'll see. I'll tell you like this though. If the rumor is true that they put the whole purse into this fight, Ryan Garcia, that might be the worst thing you could have done. Because boxing someone and knowing you can still get paid for losing is one thing. But boxing someone and knowing that the winner takes all the money and the loser's walking out of here with the same amount of money that they walked in with, that might have someone fighting way differently. Way differently. I think they're going to listen. There's a reason why I don't box professionally. All right, Denny, last thing on our quick hitter section.
Yep.
This weekend, we have the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, Formula One. Listen, Formula One, they've been off for close to about 3.5 weeks now. It's been a little bit since I've came in here and gave a little Formula One update. All the teams been off. They've been, you know, working on some updates. Azerbaijan's I think it's a really good, really fun street course. Tight turns. Listen, all I'm asking for, Mercedes, just try to keep pace with Red Bull. It's going to be hard. I think Red Bull, they got a cannon. They have a rocket ship for a car. Just keep pace with them. We'll see how it works out. I mean, we're going to need it. I don't know.
What time is the race start? Like, when's the race?
Oh, man, the race is Sunday. Shoot. I mean, it's in Azerbaijan, and I mean, it's probably going to be late at night. Yeah. God damn. What? Son. Okay, so they said it's 4 a.m. Eastern time? Which
one? Yeah, I'm going to sit that one out.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to sit that one
Son,
out.
Son, what?
That's 1 a.m. for you.
Yeah, I mean, for me.
You'll be up anyway?
Yeah, I'll be up, but God damn.
How long? Because the race is, what, 2.5-3 hours?
Yeah, 2.5-3 hours. But Azerbaijan is so many hours ahead of us. That's the only thing about Formula One that irks me. They race all around the country, so you kind of got to go by the – all around the world. So you got to go by the time zones that they're in. So, like, when they did the Australian Grand Prix, that was their last race. I mean, I just stayed up, and it was right there. When they do, like, the Japanese Grand Prix, I just stay up. But when they go to Europe, I got to wake up early, so – we shall see.
Looking
but
forward
I,
to
I just
it.
Don't know. I don't know if there's a team that can keep pace with Red Bull. They're really fast this year.
I'm looking forward for your update next week. I'm
looking forward to it too, my brother. All right. And here we are. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Beef. Danny, it's an ISO on you. Speak to the cinema. Talk to him.
So have you watched Beef? Are you familiar with Beef, the show?
I'm familiar with beefing with a motherfucker.
Oh, so Beef is a show on Netflix that stars Steve Yeun and Ali Wong. Steve is Glenn from The Walking Dead. Ali Wong is a comedian. And they've caught a lot of flack the past couple of days because a person who stars in that show apparently has been recorded making jokes about raping a black woman. We're not going to discuss that because that is insane. But the show itself, people kept telling me how good it was. It's such a great show. And dog, it's 10 episodes. Like the first 8 episodes and maybe the first part of episode 9, I was with them, and then that shit went off the rails. Like, I watched episode 9 and 10, and my wife and I are like, this is not believable whatsoever. What are we watching? You went from a dark comedy, and now you're trying to teach me life lessons. Save your time, America. Do not watch it.
That is the worst.
Like, it was, like, again, like, it was okay. It was a dark comedy. I could see this happening, and then all of a sudden, like, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but there's one scene, and when you see this scene, you will understand what I am talking about. And it's really? Like, where is this show going? What it's has like happened? That. It is like that. Well, stick to Succession.
Now, Succession is a show that I do plan on starting actually this weekend because, I guess I look ahead to episode 99. Next week, I will be coming in here and giving my review on Snowfall because this week is the series finale. So I'll be coming and giving my review. If you haven't watched Snowfall, ho brother, you should. What is it about, you may ask? Well, if you've ever heard black people say the government put crack in black neighborhoods, that's what this show is about.
Okay.
It tells you exactly what they mean by that. Okay. And I'm going to be honest, after watching this TV show, I know for a fact the government definitely put crack in black neighborhoods. They definitely put crack in black neighborhoods. Yeah, no, they definitely put crack in black neighborhoods. I ain't gonna hold you.
I mean, that was Reagan.
Listen, watch the show. Listen, I didn't watch season 5 of Snowfall because after like episode 3 or 4, I said, this is some bullshit. Like, right. y'all have given me 4 incredible seasons. This 5th season isn't it. But then I heard a lot of people saying season 6 has been really good. So I caught up. I ran through season 5. I'm going through season 6. And I can say season 6 has been very good. I think they're starting to wrap up the storylines well. I think they're starting. I think they're trying to conclude the series in a more realistic way. For those who don't know, Snowfall is based loosely off of Free Ray Ricky Ross and his story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, so it's based off of Free Ray Ricky Ross. So it's a lot of good historical context. I think if you watch it, especially if you were someone who maybe was an 80s baby, there might be some trigger warnings in there because it might hit close to home. But it's good, and I think as in terms of like black culture, this Wednesday or tomorrow will be a real staple in black TV culture history. When you think about other, no, fuck that. I think this is going to be, tomorrow night is going to be a staple in like TV history. Because I think when you think of shows like Sopranos, you think of shows like Game of Thrones, when you think of shows like The Wire, Breaking Bad, these other incredible shows, they like that final season is really much what a lot of these shows are remembered by. So I'm happy to see Snowfall. I mean, they're doing a really good job this last season. So shout out to all the actors. Shout out to the writing rooms. It's tough, right? As a writing room, like everyone just be shitting on your last season. Now you got to come back and double back and really do it up. So listen, I think the world learned from Game of Thrones and how they ended that series. That's not how you end. That is not how you end incredible TV series. So
I'm excited.
TV writers, it's always better to end a season early than a season too late.
Hello. And Kyle, to answer your question, what's worse, Beef or Moon Knight? Beef had a pretty solid string of good episodes. Moon Knight had 0 good episodes.
Nah, I'm not going to let you get that. Listen, Kyle, he's wrong. He's
Moon wrong. Knight.
Moon Knight was not bad. Moon Knight terrible. Was... You just had to, I'm sorry you had to pay attention to the storyline a little bit. They didn't really give it to you piece by piece. You had to kind of
the finale, along. He's still floating in and out of consciousness. Like we missed the action scenes. That's not cool.
But that's because
and then what did I say about the bad storytelling?
Yeah, now I will say they could have been a little bit more.
We went through all that with 2 people, and then there was just a dude standing in the corner nobody ever saw.
No.
Come on, dog. That's terrible, man. I will say, I did see the preview for the Miss Marvels. I'm very excited about that.
Hope to meet you there. I hope to meet your excitement there.
I will also say, when you watch Succession, Don't let your lust for Shiv get in the way of paying attention.
Listen, I've seen some episodes of Succession. Shiv was not bad.
Don't let your lust, because the timeline be thirsting for Shiv. Don't let your lust for Shiv overshadow the story. And also, a white woman named Siobhan is the funniest thing in TV history.
Yeah, because you know what? Listen, how many white fathers out here would name their daughter Siobhan?
Add an A to the end of it, and that'll tell you all you need to know.
Oh, Logan Roy was messing with a black woman?
No. No, Shiv is white. She,
that's what, like, I'm saying.
The only thing I got was maybe she's Russian. Like, maybe that's a Russian name, but I don't know.
You bugging. That boy Logan Roy was messing with a sister. He was messing with a sister.
I wouldn't be shocked. Logan, look, hey, his wife in the show, his second wife, I believe she's Latina. So yeah.
Listen. Black women, can I speak to y'all real quick?
Uh-oh.
Before you wage war on black men loving white women, your real adversary is the Latino women.
Yo, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Your adversary is the Latino women, because boy, let me tell you something.
I believe in unity.
I'm gonna stop.
This is not the social post. This is not the social post.
We not leading with this one?
No.
But can we agree though that they're fighting their enemy is not the enemy they think it is. It is a Latino.
They have no enemy because black women are elite.
They are the most elite. They are the most elite. I'm saying they're so elite though that they try to find beef, and they try to find beef with white women. And I don't think that's where the real beef is.
I don't think it is with white women. I believe it's because black men will put white women on a pedestal to make them superior to black women just because they're white. And I think that might be the crux of the issue.
Oh, well, if that's it, then I'm with black women, because I've always thought that was corny. Like, some of you dudes out here, you can't get no sisters, so you got to go to Betty Boop. Cool. That's cool.
Yo.
What you can do is talk to my sisters crazy, because your bum ass couldn't get one and you got a Betty Boop. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a Betty Boop. I'm just saying, don't put down my sisters. Now, to my brothers out here that may like them a little Selena, a little Mamacita, there's nothing wrong with that either. All I'm saying is, you ain't got to bring down our black queens.
That's right.
Now, if that's what you're saying, I'm fully on board, because some of y'all be talking crazy about our queens just because your ass got blocked or curved by a black woman. Listen, and this is the last thing I'm going to say before we get out of here. Fellas, sometimes when they curve you, it is a blessing in disguise. Sometimes they're curving you out of probably the worst decision you'd probably ever make in your life if you wasn't horny and thinking with the wrong head.
Thank you. Take a curve as an opportunity to get better.
But if they double back that block and try to come back to you after they curved you, oh, you got to do them dirty. You just got to.
No, you can politely say no thank you. And Cal, there was a pause.
Or you can get that ass and then you can get up out of there.
If that is the agreed upon term.
Consent ass.
Yes. If that is the agreed term.
Because we respect our women and we love our women, but we can't, you know what I'm saying? All right, last thing before we get out of here. Kyle, I did see your note that you had sent me a trade. Danny, we're going to review it right here.
Okay.
Live on air.
While you look at the trade, I want to remind the folks that the show is brought to you by goingfortwo.com. Over to goingfortwo.com for all your daily fantasy needs. As we said, the playoffs are here. And as always, for those on the visual journey, pull out your phone, scan the QR code for Underdog Fantasy, get up to a $100 deposit match using promo code GF2. That is G as in going, F as in four, and the number two. For those on the audio adventure and the chat, don't forget to follow follow us on social, speak on _pod, Instagram and Twitter, feel free to shoot us an email, speakonapod14@gmail.com. D, now that that's done, what is this trade?
So Kyle is proposing that he sends me Tua Tagovailoa, Sky Moore, and pick 309 for Jared Goff, pick 208, and pick 210.
Ooh. This is when you bring out the trade machine. Let's pull it out. I know okay. Everyone's like, you can't go by this. This isn't Bible. Like, I understand that.
Listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure how to judge this trade because I just saw what Elijah Moore went for in this league. And I'm going to be honest, since because we're at the end of the pod now. So if you're here, you just want to be here at this point. I'm going to be honest. That Elijah Moore trade was the first time as a commissioner in this league, I have honestly wanted to straight up veto a trade and just say, no, I'm not letting this happen. But
no, read out the parameters of the Elijah Moore trade. Because I saw that. I was like, collusion.
Guys. Let me tell everyone about this trade. So this trade, people, a man traded Elijah Moore for second round pick, 206 in this year's draft, a third round pick next year, and a third round pick in 2025 for Elijah Moore. And I saw the trade and I said, wait a minute, am I missing something about Elijah Moore?
It's quite the investment. Well, Kyle thinks it wasn't that bad.
I mean,
it's two-thirds. Yeah, I mean, like, for me, it's the second round pick, man.
It's no, I don't even. If honestly, if he takes away two of those second round picks, I said that's a fair trade. Three second round picks for Elijah Moore. Now I'm either wondering if I've maybe evaluated
Elijah. It's 1 second and 2/3. So it's a second this year.
2 seconds. I could be like, 2 seconds. 1 second and 2/3.
Yeah, I think the 2025 third was to sweeten the pot. I bet you whoever had Elijah Moore tried to generate a little bit more. Like, oh, I got someone else over here because they do that in our league. They be lying.
Listen, I wasn't trying to hate on the trade. I was just saying, yo, if that's what Elijah Moore can go for in this trade, I don't know. I just don't know how to evaluate. Maybe
the draft.
Hey, I've been. Considering it,
Kyle, trade Drake London to me, Kyle.
So the thing is, before I was really interested in trying to get Sky Moore from Kyle. And then I started, I don't know, something about the last about 3 weeks has me thinking. I've been seeing more of Justin Ross and Patrick Mahomes throwing. Mm-hmm. Kyle, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want Tua Tagovailoa. If I'm going to keep one QB on my roster as a backup, it's got to be Jared Goff. So if I decline your offer, Kyle, it's probably starting with I don't want Tua. And so I don't know. I'll think on it, Kyle. I can tell you right now, I really don't want Tua Tagovailoa. So we'll see. Maybe I might counter it, but. Let me think on it. People, make sure you follow the kid at Los Demix. That's at LOSDEEMIX. That's at LOSDEEMIX. Danny, I kind of like that little bop we was kind of vibing to. That was, for everyone who didn't know, the song that we came into was Forever. That's the letter or the number 4, EVA. That's Amine and Katrinata. They're teaming up and calling themselves Katrimine. They're working on a little project. So we're gonna get back. We're gonna get out here to that. Make sure you guys have a great week. Thank you guys for pulling up, listening, hanging with us. As always, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. Tell them to pull up here on Tuesdays. We're continuing to try to grow the brand, try to expand. And we're just happy that you guys enjoy the show. Enjoy being here with us. Dan, you got anything else to add?
Yeah. So, draft, you and I next Friday will open up the draft starting at 7 o'clock here. If we're going for two, we'll be on for an hour, 7 to 8. Also, episode 100 is 2 weeks from tonight. If there's anything you would like us to talk about or share, send us an email or a tweet, send us some sort of formal communication. We're trying to think of something for 100, let you know. Yeah, trying to grow the brand, what that looks like. It's going to be very interesting. The next 100 episodes, the next 25, they could be something really special.
I think so too, my brother. I think so too. Hey.
Y'all have a good night.
People, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Just make sure that before you do anything tomorrow or today, you speak on it. Hey. Hey.